We did a story yesterday that this woman stabbed her boyfriend 13 times. He gets away, right? That's the only reason why he's alive.
Wow.
Right.
She's in court. He shows up and proposes to her.
Well, okay. Yeah. So that, wow, you really just can't make this stuff up.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, what's the state going to do with that? He may not be a motivated victim, but I think that it does raise some questions about his mental health. It does raise some questions about whether she's inherently violent. And certainly that's a relationship that might lead people to question whether both people have both oars in the water.
Right.
So the prosecution will proceed with he as a material and reluctant witness. He may say, I'm not coming to testify. The state would then get a warrant against him. If he got on the stand and said, I'm not going to testify against her, they could hold him in contempt.
How do you defend someone like that? Let's just say.
Which one?
You're defending the woman who stabbed her boyfriend 13 times.
All right. Well, so without knowing any of the facts, these are the fantasy facts I'd like to have. So he's in the hospital. He stabbed 13 times. Well, clearly none of the wounds were fatal or he wouldn't be here. There must have been a struggle because if she had the intent to kill, she would have zeroed in on the heart or an artery or some fatal wound. So if there was a struggle, it had to be self-defense. So I'd be looking for a pattern in the knife wounds that suggested self-defense. I'd be looking for injuries to him that suggested there was a struggle, injuries to her that suggested there was a struggle. Two people in love, a little ditty about Jack and Diane, two American kids doing the best they can. They had a misunderstanding about whether something tasted great or was less filling. And before you know it, under the influence of just a little bit of too much alcohol or perhaps marijuana that was now legal, one of them said something to the other. There was a misapprehension, and this conflict flared out of control momentarily. And in the few brief moments of that struggle, both wondered whether they'd live or die. When it was over, she realized what a mistake she'd made. She drove him to the hospital, nursed him back to health, and but for her remorse, her instantaneous remorse, Judge, he might be dead now. So while this crime appears to be shocking to the public at large, in the context as a whole, we see it simply as a misunderstanding gone awry.
Jesus.
Wow.
That's what you want as your attorney, right?
Seriously, really?
I mean, that's what I'd like. Right. Who knows? You know, the facts might get in the way.
Yeah.
They have a tendency to do that from time to time. And then you have to contextualize. You know, another way of preparing cases, you know, you read everything you can about the dispute and you make a list, the good facts, the bad facts. And you want to emphasize the good facts and minimize the bad ones.
Say a real bad guy walks in and, you know the facts and the facts are he did it. Do you turn it down because of that? Or do you say, oh, this is going to be a challenge. I love this.
The latter. I mean, you know, first, I'm never a witness. You tell me you did the worst possible crime in the world. You need a defense. And I firmly believe that no one is the sum of their worst moments and everyone's entitled to a defense. The mob that scares me the most is the self-righteous mob that thinks it knows the truth and is prepared to dispense with due process.
There's a lot of that now.
Yeah. Move immediately to judgment. I will always defend the unpopular person.
Norm, thanks for coming in. We're linked up to your stuff at ChazAndAJInTheMorning.com.
Be well.